hoping that we can glean some precious truth in this particular section of the Word of God. Let us read the section first. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly, that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now may the Lord bless his word. Let us pray together. Our Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus, we bow before you and we thank you tonight that we can open your word. We can glean precious truth from it. We can get direction for our lives. We can walk in love and in truth and in the light. And may we do so. And we ask you tonight that as we're together, the grace of our God, the love and fellowship of the Holy Spirit may be experienced by each one of us. We thank you for these young men that lead in singing, and especially tonight for Eric in the way in which he was willing to do it when those that we depend upon so much are not able to be here. So we commend them to you. And we thank you for each one of them. And now we pray that we may glean precious truth from this portion of your word for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. I don't know of anything that attracts attention more in the religious realm than physical healing. Men who are engaged in teaching physical healing, healing for the sick, holding healing meetings, etc., are quite wealthy. They gain much profit by what they do. And there's a certain class of people that will not study these passages and get from the passages what I believe the passage is teaching in a very forthright manner. But rather they continue in that which is financially profitable. Now, this is the only portion of Scripture, all the way through the epistles, from Romans through Jude, that lays a special emphasis on what we would call divine healing of the sick through the ministry of the elders of the church. You won't find it anywhere else. It is not in the writings of Paul, and he gave special instructions to the elders regarding their qualifications and their responsibility. And yet you find nothing in there concerning prayer and anointing for the sick. The epistles are the high water mark of divine revelation. The Romans, Ephesians, and Colossians. And in them we find nothing about healing of diseases by anointing and by prayer. You will not find it in any of Paul's epistles. Now, gifts of healings are mentioned among the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It is there. But there is silence in the remainder of the Corinthian epistle. And in the other epistles, we don't read any instructions for special healing ministry to the sick. Instead, Paul instructs Timothy to use a little wine for his stomach problem that he had. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23. Paul confessed in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20 that he had left Trophimus at Miletum sick. He had to say that. Furthermore, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 7 through 10, he confesses that he had a physical infirmity, and that physical infirmity was part of God's gracious working in his life to keep him from being puffed up because of the abundance of the revelation he had received when he was caught up into paradise, into the third heaven. In the New Testament, believers are continually encouraged to view their physical infirmities as merely being temporary and working out of a greater spiritual benefit. Romans 8:18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Furthermore, in that great section in Romans, between verse 28 and the end of the chapter, we have that expression, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. It is in that section. Now, when we come to the book of James, you see, in James chapter 1, for instance, in verse 2 and in verse 3 and in verse 4, I read this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Throughout the book of James, until you get to this last section, the proper response to trials is patience. All through the book of James, in chapter 5, verses 7 to 11, the portion that we examined 2 weeks ago deals with patience. Look at verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. What will the coming of the Lord be? It will usher us into that which is spoken of in Romans chapter 8. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. When our Lord returns for the child of God, from there on it is going to be glory forever with the Lord. Here James emphasizes the importance of being patient. Where? In the midst of adversity. And the closing two verses of this epistle of James emphasizes the importance of being patient and gaining victory over sin. So we ask the question, what is James saying in this passage that is before us? Now, I preached this sermon here, prayer meeting night, about 7 years ago. I don't know if any of you remember it or not, but I've examined this passage anew, and I pulled out the old notes on this. It took me about a half an hour to find them, but I found them, and I examined them afresh. Now, I believe that the key lies in the words that are translated sick in verse 14, and the word translated sick in verse 15, and the word translated anoint in verse 14. Now, let us look at the word translated sick in verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The word that is translated sick here is found 36 times in the New Testament. Now, I was going to say the word, but in our Monday night Bible class, we criticize each other. It's a good thing, and we learn to live with criticizing each other. And one of the things that were told me, you don't need to give us the Greek word, just it doesn't mean anything anyway, so I'm not going to. And I think it's just as well. So, but this word here that he's translated sick, he's found 36 times in the New Testament. 20 times out of that 36, it refers to physical weakness. It is used concerning those who are sick, predominantly in the gospel accounts and in the book of Acts. In the gospels and in the book of Acts. Now, 14 times, however, it is used to describe persons who are spiritually weak. Spiritually weak. Him that is weak in the faith. Receive ye, but not the doubtful disputations, as we have. I think it's either the first verse of Romans 14 or the first verse of Romans 15. Now, the Greek lexicons on this verse give definitions for the word that imply, first, bodily weakness, but second, religious or moral weakness, and Thayer suggests to be weak, to be feeble, to be without strength. And this is the same thought that is given in by Vincent in his word studies on the New Testament. Paul used this word to speak of those who were spiritually immature, Romans 14:1 and Romans 14:2, who are in need of special consideration. Now, when you put this into the context of the book of James, and you think about your own spiritual life, there are times in your spiritual life when you become depressed and weak as a child of God, as you seek to endure, as James tells us, we should be doing as the children of God. Count it all joy when you fall into many trials. But joy in trials can lead to discouragement in trials. And a discouraged Christian needs to be encouraged in one way or another. And we'll get to that in a moment. So we have this word that he's translated sick in verse 14. Now when we come to verse 15, the word that he's translated weak in verse 15, this word appears only three times in the New Testament. In Hebrews 12:3, it is translated weary, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. That's what he, in Romans, Hebrews 12, you remember. Wherefore, being encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every sin and every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. And then he adds, my forgetter is very busy. Hebrews 12, verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And it's a call to consider Christ, who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. And that's the thought here. And this is how, out of one of the three times that he's translated, it is translated as wearied and faint. And then in Revelation chapter 2, verse 3, you have the same thought to the church at Ephesus, where the Lord Jesus writes, he says, thou hast labored and hast not fainted. You have labored, but you didn't faint. And the third time it's translated is here in the text, and it is translated sick. Is any sick among you? In other words, are there any weak who are fainting because of the trials? You see, I believe that a prayer offered in faith will restore one who is weary. People who are weary in their struggle against sin. And we become weary. and we have a tendency to faint. And this is a natural tendency. Job became weary. Elijah became weary fighting, and he ran from a woman, Jezebel. Lest ye be weary, and it's easy for us to become weary. Now the word that's translated healed in verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Now that word appears 28 times in the New Testament. This word is definitely used of physical healing in the New Testament. But in the book of Hebrews, where the word sick is translated weary and faint in your mind, and weary with a struggle against sin, he has something to say in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Let us notice what it says. Hebrews 12, verses 12 and 13. Here is a direct commandment to the children of God. He says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. What's he talking about? He's not talking about physical healing here. The hands that hang down are hanging down because of a weariness in the battle against sin. A weariness because of the oppression of the enemy. A physical, or should I say, a spiritual oppression which wearies the children of God. Now, he is suggesting here that the healing is spiritual in nature. This is why I believe that James 5 is also speaking about spiritual healing. Now, when a person calls for the elders of the church and they are ill, the scripture says the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And this is a definite thing. How can any of us be dogmatic with anybody that is physically ill and say the Lord will raise you up? Now I know the healers do it all the time. They do it continuously. But we're talking sensibly from the Word of God. How can we do it? We can't. Except it's spiritual illness. A weariness in the battle against sin. And we know that when a person gets down to business in the battle against sin, there is strength from the Lord. For they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, when Sarah Murdoch was here and had her surgery for her back, when she had to come home a couple months, about a year back, I went to visit her one day in the Chapel Hill in the hospital. And I hardly stayed 2 minutes in her room. That girl was sick. She was having physical pain that she could hardly open her eyes because of the surgery that she had on her back. Now there's no need for me to go to any religious activity as though I had the formula for her healing. Her healing was not because of weariness in the battle against sin. Her discomfort was a result of serious operation that she had to have on her back. And the only thing that would heal her was to go back to the God of creation who created the physical body, that it needs a certain amount of rest, and there is a healing process that goes into operation that he ordained when he created man. Now, when it comes to that which is spiritual, for the child of God, the prayer of faith is very important. Now, as I've dealt with the prayer of faith on other times, the prayer of faith is, first of all, a prayer of knowledge. I'm always amazed at the healers. They seem to have a knowledge of medicine that is beyond doctors. They seem to have a knowledge of so many things, but that's not what the prayer of faith is all about. The prayer of faith is a prayer that is prayed with a knowledge that you are in the will of God and you have the Word of God for its answer. Let me give you an illustration. Remember Hezekiah? When Hezekiah was told to set his house in order, he was going to die and not live. Well, Manasseh was born in that period of time. God gave him 15 years. Hezekiah turned to the wall and he prayed. What did he pray? He prayed a prayer of faith. You say, how do I know? Well, he had the Word of God to pray. That's how I know. What Word of God? The covenant that God made with David. God said to David that you shall never want for a man to sit upon the throne. And Hezekiah was the last one. He had no son. God said the throne of David is going to continue. It would have to have a son. Hezekiah knew it. Lord, if you take me home, what about your word? He could pray in accordance with the word and the will of God. That's a prayer of faith. Now, brethren, when we come to this matter of healing, where there's a weariness and fainting on the part of the children of God because of their struggle against sin, we have that before us, which can give us an answer. For we have definite revelation in the Word of God that God will bless and restore spiritual strength to the child of God. We have the affirmative on that. But we have no scripture to go to in the Word of God that God promises physical healing to his children. Nowhere do I know that you can find it. He didn't heal Paul. He told Paul it's better for him that he has a thorn in the flesh. And Paul submitted to the will of God. Epaphroditus almost died taking the love gift of the Philippians to Paul in Rome when he was a prisoner. He almost died. Now, I believe in praying for the sick. Physically sick. I believe in praying for them, and I'll tell you why. Paul prayed for Epaphroditus, and the Lord had mercy upon him. But Paul wasn't definite that God was going to have mercy upon him, and he didn't command God to do it. He said God just had mercy upon him. These men who want to command the Almighty, doesn't make sense, friends. This does to me. And I hope it will to you when we get to to take another look at it and look at it in relation to the illustration that James gives concerning Elijah. So much for tonight. We need to pray. And before Brother Neil comes, I'd just like to say this. We need to pray concerning the meetings that will be here next week every night. Our brother is coming in the gospel. I went to Raleigh last night along with Brother Neil to hear our brother Welburn minister the gospel. It was a good meeting. I believe God was honored in the meeting. And there were sinners there to hear the gospel. And we thank God for it. And I'm looking forward to God moving in our own area in the salvation of sinners. So we need to pray. So I'm quitting just a little earlier than I normally do to give us time to pray. Mr. Neal.